The stock pot stays on the stove until the propane runs out. It's been there overnight, a low-toned laughter simmer, the tilted farmhouse smelling more and more like salt and bones. Now it is on the wood stove, and I conduct lever, log, ladle. November sunsets come on slow, a thin pierce of purple between blue fading to black mountain, and they don't bother to linger. I watch it happen all at once. The band of light, a triangle on the floor and on my feet, gathers itself, begins to slip away, toward the window, out the window, across the field, and back to itself. This farmhouse is bluish purple. Could be a November sunset. It rambles like New England farmhouses do. Kind of like New England conversations, too. This is my house for now, but I keep my favorite possessions in boxes and basements, and haven't ever called this place home. Haven't, in fact, used that word for years. I long to unpack, here, anywhere, but the thought terrifies more than it tempts. I set traps at night and wake up to find my eager, young hand snared and clutching the bait as if it was how things were. The snap was not a dream, though. Another soft, limp, gray mouse tossed. The lilac bush is filling up. Yet the walls that contain this house still scurry. It is outside, inside. The stock is the last push of fall pork processing. The bones and non-renderable fat had been piled in tubs in the walk-in for days. Sure, we gave a few bones to the dogs. They are spread out in the dusting of snow, guarding what they know to be theirs with growls. Sure, the freezer is also full of bones, still surrounded by chop or butt or rib meat, and we abandoned plans to use hooves and heads, gifting them also to the dogs. Despite this, the entire framework of five pigs is condensed into one pot. The purple leaving light is gone now. I flip switches and warm artificial yellow spreads. The bones are indistinguishable, as the body parts they once were. Simmering leads to separation. They are pieces. They are sea creatures, urchin, snail, anemone, coral, squid, jellyfish. And all bones are not the same. Some are white and shiny and hard. Others have turned gray. They crumble between my fingers, bone dust paste. One fits very nicely in my hand, wraps around wrist and curls up thumb. It could be mine, I think. These days the work I do is driven by a desperate need to know I can try, really try. I find myself out of my element, put myself there, in fact. At the top of 40-foot ladders, my tool belt slipping down my waist, hammer hitting awkwardly low on the outside of my knee, long braid tucked up under sawdust-covered hat, earplugs washing out of pant pockets when I occasionally get around to that. Deconstruction must happen before construction, and some days all we do is carry heavy things, make new piles out of old piles. In rare moments, I find myself intricately connected, body to mind, motion to thought, that is. The steps I take are decided and then executed. Careful, think this through. But yet I'm a workhorse too. I shut down and do. I say yes when I want to say no. Head bowed, I push-pull myself into the right-angled corners of my limits. Even the cement slab we poured heaves beyond its confines. And I keep wondering, are those cracks permanent damage?